And time to move on to our health and wellness segment now, which is something that SJ focuses on every Saturday morning. And today we're going to be focusing on childbirth and in particular cesarean sections. Depending on where in the world you live and the type of healthcare available to you, a cesarean section can be common, but still a major surgical procedure. However, despite the frequency with which they are performed, there are still several myths and misconceptions around C-sections. Now, understanding the facts can help expectant mothers make informed decisions and reduce unnecessary anxiety and fear about the birthing process. April is C-section Awareness Month. I didn't know there was such a thing, but Vicky alerted me to it, and I think it's very good that there is. So we thought we'd invite an expert to join us this morning to debunk some of the myths and misconceptions around C-section delivery. Joining us this morning by Zoom is Dr. Salima Nosarka-Parker, obstetrician and gynecologist. Please feel free to share your questions with the doctor now, if you'd like to do so, 021-446-0567, 0725671567. Salima, I was wondering, first of all, before we get into debunking some of the myths around cesarean sections, why you feel it's important that we even have a cesarean section awareness month?
I think people are having babies all the time. Obviously, everybody, every woman wants to be a mother, have kids, you know, feel that love. So, and cesarean section is one of the ways to deliver a baby. And I think it's important because it is a surgical procedure. People need to know what the risks and benefits are and just be well informed before they make a decision with their doctor as to which way to go with the delivery.
You know, my children were both born by emergency cesarean section. It was not my choice. I felt bitterly disappointed, but at the end of the day, I wanted a healthy child and what was best for the baby, and that's what doctors decided. Do you find a lot of women feel disappointed when they have to have a cesarean section?
I think it varies. Some women, but yes, some women want to deliver normally, and when it happens that they do need an emergency for whatever reason, they are disappointed because, you know, you're actually not going through the whole process. It's a surgical procedure, and especially if you have an elective cesarean section, then, you know, you plan for it, you know when it's going to happen. But if it happens as an emergency, you know, everything goes very quickly. Mm. You don't have time to even prepare for it. And then you are very disappointed.
Mm. Let's dive into some of the myths that we know are commonplace when it comes to C-section. And that's the first one that we hear so often, particularly here in South Africa, is too posh to push. You know, people think that, oh, well, C-section's an easy way out. We'll just check myself into the hospital when it's convenient and get it done with. Is that in fact the case? Is it an easy way out?
Well, let's look at the two options. The one option is a cesarean section. The other option is a vaginal birth. Mm. So when you have a cesarean section, it gets planned if it's an elective one. You know when it's going to happen. You have your spinal anesthetic before the time. You know it's planned. Everything goes well. But at the same time, a cesarean section does have risks. It is abdominal surgery. You're going into the abdomen. If you've had previous surgery, there could be adhesions. You know, it could be difficult. And also post-operatively, you know, if you have a vaginal delivery, you can walk around immediately, whereas if you have a cesarean section, you know, there could be a bit of pain afterwards. It takes up to 4 to 6 weeks before you can drive again, you know, so the healing process does take longer. Mm. But on the other hand, with a vaginal delivery, people are scared because, you know, if things go horribly wrong, and say the baby's too big or the head gets stuck or maybe you can tear, or if you've had lots of vaginal deliveries, people are scared, women are scared that the organs will prolapse, you know, and then you may get problems in your menopause years with incontinence, things like that. So I think when you look at the two options, like in the state sector where I used to work, we always say, what is the indication? You know, and then you make an informed decision as to which way is best. But too posh to push, I think that's just a phrase that's used, but cesarean section isn't necessarily the best way. If it's, for example, a big baby, if you're a small mom and your pelvis is too small, if the placenta is lying low, or if the baby's lying in breech, in that way, you know, definitely you need an elective caesar. But if everything is normal, if you're happy to proceed normally, you know, and go through labor, you can also get an epidural. It can be a wonderful experience, you know? Mm. So I think it just depends on the woman's preference. And also important to chat with your gynae and decide, you know, what, so the two of you are in agreement as to which is the best way.
I'm in conversation with Dr. Salima Nosaka-Parker, obstetrician and gynecologist. If you've got any questions for the doctor or you'd like to know more about having a cesarean section, you're welcome to call us now, 021-446-0567, or send a message to 072-567-1567. Doc, let's move on to a second common misunderstanding when it comes to C-sections, and that is once a C-section, always a C-section. That's not the case, though, is it?
No, it's not. If you had a cesarean section, for example, a big baby, meaning more than 4 kilograms, or if the baby was lying in the breech position, you know, that is an indication for a cesarean section. But if in the second pregnancy, the baby's small, everything looks well, and the mom wants to try normal delivery, then you can proceed. The only thing is you have to, when you're in labor, you have to be monitored very closely to make sure that you do progress well. You know, there is a small risk of uterine rupture, but I mean, you'll be evaluated very carefully. So, you know, if for some reason you end up with an emergency cesarean section for whatever reason, and you want to try a normal birth, then it can happen. However, if you've had a, like say you have a small pelvis, then if you have another big baby, then you will need a follow-up cesarean section again. But, and also if you've had two cesarean sections, then, you know, we don't actually want you to have a normal delivery after that because the chance of uterine rupture is more. In that case, then you would have an elective third cesarean section.
Okay. Doctor, before we go on to the third misconception around cesarean sections, I know that South Africa does have one of the highest rates of doing C-sections in the world as a form of childbirth. Why is that?
I think that's more in the private sector.
Okay.
We must just also clarify the difference between the private sector and the state sector. So in the state sector, you know, there's less resources, fewer doctors, more emergencies. You know, so in that case, if you are a state patient, you can't actually demand a cesarean section electively.
Okay.
Whereas in the private sector, I think people are so busy and women are maybe a bit more informed. And, you know, it's just people are more prone to choose a cesarean section compared to the state sector where, you know, you don't really have a choice always because of restraints of poor funding, you know, poor resources, lack of doctors, busy labor wards.
Doc, let's move on now to the relationship between breastfeeding and a cesarean section. Is there any truth to the myth that you should not breastfeed if you have a C-section?
No, that's absolute nonsense. Breastfeeding is very important. Once you've had your cesarean section and you've in recovery, you know, they bring the baby to you, you can breastfeed. I mean, obviously, the babies don't always latch immediately and it can be a bit hard, especially if it's your first pregnancy and you haven't breastfed. But we know breastfeeding is best. You know, the it's a chance for you to bond with the baby. The breast milk has all the nutrients and whatever to help the baby's immunity. You know, there's so many advantages to best breastfeeding. So whoever says, and also when you breastfeed, your uterus contracts, which is also good if you've just had a cesarean section, you know, because you want to prevent bleeding and it's good if the uterus is contracting. So I think breastfeeding is always a good thing. And if you've had a cesarean section, it's not a reason not to breastfeed. So I'm very full. I had two kids and I breastfed both of them. And I also had two cesarean sections and I had no problems at all.
Let's talk about perhaps some of the benefits of having a cesarean section, even if it's not an emergency case. So if you choose to have a cesarean section, what can some of the benefits of that be?
Okay, so again, it's a planned procedure. So you don't go into labor, your water doesn't break, your membranes don't rupture. You know, sometimes when people go into labor and it's your first pregnancy, it takes a long time for you to get contractions and then you need to get medication to get contractions. So in a cesarean section, none of that happens. You know, you go in, it's planned and you have your baby and it's done. Also, you know, like I said, your pelvic floor is protected because sometimes if the baby's a little bit big or whatever, you need to have a cut, which is an episiotomy, which gets stitched. Or sometimes if something happens in the delivery, you can tear and then you need to have stitches in the vaginal area. And, you know, that can be a bit painful afterwards. So if you have a cesarean section, that won't happen. Also, if you have a cesarean section, you can, you know, immediately be awake and whatever, whereas when you, not be awake, sorry, be alert. Whereas when you've had the normal delivery, sometimes the mother's very exhausted and tired and whatever. But I think either way, once the baby comes out, you're so happy and excited that you want to hold the baby, you want to touch the baby, you know, and you forget whatever. happen before that, especially if you've had a normal delivery. The pain, everything gets forgotten when you look into that little baby and hold the baby and, you know, you're just happy.
My daughter said to me the other day, I don't think I can ever have a child. I want a child, but I don't think I can ever go through the pain of having a child. And I remember feeling that same way myself. Even up until the time I was pregnant, I was thinking there's only two ways this thing's coming out, and I don't think I can do either of them. But you're right. You are so caught up in the emotion and the love and just the overwhelming euphoria of it all that you forget about all of that. It's so unimportant in the moment of childbirth.
It's amazing how the woman just changes from when in labor to immediately after delivery. You know, it's just a switch. You just become a mom and you want for some women, especially infertile women, you know, who've been struggling to have a baby for so long.
Yeah.
You know, it's your life dream. And when it happens and you have that baby, it's just like God answered your prayers and you forget everything. You're just happy, happy, happy. And also your husband or your partner's there to share in the joy. And it's just a wonderful experience.
Well, I'm in conversation with Dr. Salima Nusaka Parker, obstetrician and gynecologist. If you'd like to join us, you have a few minutes left to do so. Doc, let's talk about one of the practical issues now, which is, of course, the cost. It's not cheap having any kind of surgical procedure. And I must say, I was quite shocked when I got my doctor's bill after my emergency cesarean. It was quite a bit higher than I'd anticipated. Is it true that doctors get paid more for a C-section, or is it just the operating costs that are higher?
I think the amount that you pay actually to the gynae is the same. It's the operating cost. It's the anaesthetist. It's the theater time. You know, those are all extras. But the gynae herself or himself actually doesn't get much more than is, but only if it's an emergency. Obviously, it's not planned because doctors have elective theater lists. So they have their list and then on those days they operate. Mm-hmm. But if it's an emergency, if it happens in the middle of the night, then you have to call everybody out and then there are extra costs involved.
Well, can't childbirth be the same natural childbirth because sometimes the doctor has to come in the middle of the night?
Yes, but you don't need the theater time. You don't need to get all the theater staff out. You don't need all the doctors know obstetricians and gynecs when you choose that job. You know, it's an after hours job. Babies love to come in the middle of the night. And also on holidays, Christmas, New Year, you know, when you have this job, it's you don't have a life. You need to go and deliver that baby when it's time.
Yeah,
and babies come when they want to.
Friday afternoon was mine. I'm sure that my doctor was less than impressed with me. Doc, let's talk about the age of the mum and whether that has any impact on whether she should have a natural birth or a cesarean section.
Yes, I think age is important. So if we just look at older women, because I had my babies when I was older, I think especially if you've done fertility treatment, you know, you would want to You invested so much money and time and effort into this that you don't want to have any problems with birth and labor and, you know, maybe sometimes reduced oxygen to the baby. So in that case, you know, an older mom who's more informed and whatever would want an elective cesarean section, which I can understand, you know, for all those reasons. But also younger moms, you know, I think younger moms to have a caesar, it's a bit hectic because going through that, having a wound, having a new baby, you know, so I think if you're a younger mom, what I feel is that, you know, it would be easier to have a natural birth. Everything goes well, you heal quicker, and, you know, you can manage easier with a baby than if you were, you know, a bit older.
And any parting shots before we let you go, Doc, anything else you'd like our listeners to know about cesarean sections, being that it is Cesarean Section Awareness Month now in April?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of a lot of people think it's the only option, but it's not the only option. I think when you make your decision, you need to decide, why am I doing it? What are the risks? What are the benefits? Talk to your doctor, ask questions, make an informed decision, you know, and then once you've made your decision, if you decide for a normal birth and you need to have an emergency, it's fine. You know, you are prepared. Mm. But if you decide to go with a cesarean section as your first choice, you know, embrace it, be prepared. And everything will go well, be positive, and, you know, just enjoy it and make the most of it. And even when you recover these days, you know, we get up, we eat, we on the go, we want to get moving quickly, you know, for our baby. I mean, when I had my second child, I even forgot, you know, you're so hectic and busy with the child and the baby and excited. Also, I had a girl and then I had a boy you know, you're just on the go, you even forget. So sometimes you have to remind yourself, oh, I've got a scar, you know, let's just take it easy.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's a wonderful experience, you know, motherhood and getting there.
Very rational.
And the cesarean section is the means to get there.
That I was just saying, very rational and reassuring advice there that we'll end off with. Thank you so much, Dr. Salima Nosaka-Parker, for joining us this morning, obstetrician and gynecologist, just talking about cesarean sections and the awareness around that.